We all have a devotion to St. Teresa. God, I love St. Teresa. I have a devotion to Padre Pio. I love Padre Pio. But guess what? St. Teresa and Padre Pio weren't created specifically to serve and to protect and to guide and to light my life. Your guardian angel was created at the beginning of time for you right now and you alone. That's the whole purpose of his existence. God said, you're going to serve a person. Okay, I'll do it. Will you love them? I'll do it. I'll serve you. I'll serve this person. Well, they're not going to be born for like 15 million years. That's okay. I'll wait. And then once you're dead, that's it. His job is done. It's all about you. And we don't think about it. We don't know what to think about it. We don't. It's ridiculous. Let me make sure I'm covering all my...
Did I go too far?
No, yeah, you went too far. Just a picture of... Yes, please. So when you die, your angel's not reassigned. So when you die, if you go to hell, your angels, St. Thomas Aquinas said that he won't cry because they don't have bodies, so they can't cry. And that because they're in the beatific vision, all of their desires are satisfied, all of their desires are completely fulfilled. So according to St. Thomas Aquinas, your angel will go back to heaven and be like, I'm done. And you will worship God along with them. I like to think, of course, we all like to be a little bit more pious, a little bit more loving. We go to hell, our angel will cry buckets and buckets of tears that would fill an ocean in just 1 second because they're so sad. But you go to hell, your angel's done. He's going back to adoring, worshiping God. And you've glorified God in his justice. They said, man, God is just and God was merciful. Look at all those chances he gave him throughout his life. Well, God's just obeying that guy's free will. He said, not your will be done, God, but my will be done. One last thing about the devils. If you want to be like a devil, just tell God, my will be done and not your will. If you want to be like the Blessed Virgin Mary, say, thy will be done, God, not my will. And then they're polar opposites of one another. So if you go to purgatory, what happens? So you're in purgatory, your guardian angel's praying for you. And not only that, this is very important. We don't think about that. When you're in purgatory, you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters still on earth. So what are they doing? They're going to grandma or they're going to Aunt Pat and they're saying, Aunt Pat, you're the only one who goes to church. Please pray for Rebecca. Aunt Pat, she's in purgatory. No offense, Rebecca. So your guardian angels aren't just being like, well, they're going to burn, they're going to suffer for a little while. No, they're compassionate, they're loving, they're going to your family and friends. They offer mass for this one. Oh, come on, I better pray the rosary. And maybe you haven't thought of grandma in a long time, and all of a sudden you're praying the rosary one day and you think of them, and you're like, I'll pray for grandma just in case she's not in heaven. And guardian angels are like, yeah. And then so they bring those consolations, they bring those graces to you in purgatory to help console you and then encourage you. And then when you finally get to heaven, they're there worshiping and adoring God side by side with your angel, not because of your nature, because of the grace that you've received. Now, oh, see my intellect and my low IQ. All right. Okay, here we go. So, guardian angels, how many do you have? You have one. You only need one. Some pious people, and I was one of them, I was like, God, give me, I heard that if you ask God for more than one guardian angel, he'll give you more. I've got nine, women have told me, I've got nine guardian angels. Really? What do you do with them? What do you do with one of them? And it's like, I've got nine, and it's like, with these people, I'm like, I'm not even going to argue with you. But you don't even, you only need one. You just go to church, and you go to the store, and you go to the doctor. Why do you need nine guardian angels? You don't do anything. Right? So you have one guardian angel, but some people might have an extra angel assigned to them for a particular office. What do you mean? Where is he getting this? Where is he getting this weirdness? Well, from the Bible. In the Bible, they said that St. Michael the Archangel was the guardian, and this is Thomas Aquinas and Pseudo-Dionysius the Areopagite with their brilliant intellects. So and it says in the Old Testament that St. Michael was the guardian angel of Israel. And so then there was the guardian angel of the Assyrians. And then there was a guardian angel of this nation. So St. Thomas Aquinas would argue that if God has guardian angels over nations, so these aren't like an extra guardian angel for the president of the United States. It's not that he has two guardian angels, but one of them is over the office, making sure things run well. So you might say, but we're fighting with Syria, and we've got Obama, and they're making bad choices, and this, and this, and this, and this. And like this bonehead, we're going to have a nuclear war, and all Russia's doing better with Putin. He's so muscular and handsome. What are we going to do, right? So our guardian angels are working. Like, so angels of nations are keeping, because we're boneheads. We'd have killed each other by now if it wasn't for the guardian angels of the nations. We'd have already nuked everybody, or fried everybody with biological warfare. So there's guardian angels of nations. So Thomas Aquinas would argue that if there are guardian angels watching over temporal nations, temporal orders, that there should also be, it's only fitting that there are guardian angels watching over the spiritual natures, the spiritual institutions of the church. So then there should be a guardian angel of an archdiocese or diocese. There should be a guardian angel over the leader. If there's a guardian angel over the leader of a certain nation, there should be an extra guardian angel watching over the office of bishop in that archdiocese. Some theologians want to get, and again, so then they're just trying to extrapolate. So then that means we'll have one of our parish, and that means we'll have one of our priest, and we'll have one, and then, but then for me, that makes me think, if we got all these extra guardian angels roaming around, like guardian angel of the parish, guardian angel of the priest, and you got two guardian angels, what the heck is going on with this church? Why are we not getting some good graces? Why are we not the people flowing in? And again, we have to remember, God honors and respects our free will. So we can get all the graces, but it's not, we can't fall into the conclusion that we are at the hands and at the mercy of things that we can't see. The temptations come, the trials come, but ultimately, our destiny, our choices reside within the capacity of our intellects and our wills, as limited as they are. So, how would my guardian angel work? So, again, they can illumine my mind. For example, I'll talk about illumine my mind as far as sin first, because they do two things. So, they want. So, what does the guardian angel prayer say? Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, they're always at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and to guide. They enlighten me about the divine mysteries. They enlighten me when I'm about to do something bad, and they say, oh, Gabriel, you are such an idiot. Do not. So we might get a bad temptation to say, go on, you know, you should go check out Fox News or whatever, right? Or you should go check out this sports page. And on the sports page is this woman, ooh, beautiful volleyball woman. Ooh, my gosh, she's so good looking, right? So a bad angel might put that temptation knowing that there's a bad picture on that website, and he's like, ah, you won't ever pick up on this temptation. It's just checking the sports page, right? But guardian angel will say, no, you really need to do something else, right? So that's one way. They can give us holy thoughts. What's another way? Okay, so this is very, very important. Free will is very, very important. We have to make a firm resolution right now and at every moment of our life to seek out God's will and to do God's will in all things, at all times, every day and in every way. And if you do this, so we saw the illumination of the mind for helping us with sin. If you do this, you will notice the little bitty ways that the guardian angel is helping you to do God's will. For example, are you ready for this example? I don't think you're ready for this example. Are you ready for this example?
Yes.
All right. So this is where you'll know. This is why I gave this talk, so that you can notice in your life when the guardian angels are really guarding, because they're guarding us all the time. We don't realize it because they're doing such a good job. But you will start to get insights into their mind and into how they help you. So, for example, let's say your name is Tommy, and Tommy's home alone. And I always use this example because it's just so easy. Tommy's home alone. www.sinnow.com. Hit enter. Internet goes out. What the heck, stupid computer? Right? Restart the computer. www.sin.com. Phone rings. Hi, is Mr. Wong there? Mr. Wong? What? Oh, wrong number. And then Tommy's all, okay, can I get back to what I was doing, please? www.sin, lots and lots and lots, I want it now.com. And then the doorbell rings. Who is this? Ah, is this 2121 South Street? No, fool, this is 1212 South Street. And then they leave. Well, what is going on here? Could this possibly be our guardian angel? Our guardian angels can appear to us in three ways. The first way, the way that we read in the Bible, I'm your guardian angel, hail, full of grace. What sort of greeting is this? Or they can be so powerful and so beautiful and you're so scared. And he says, don't be afraid. So that's one way, the way that would make all of us wet our pants or fall down dead. Because that's what happened to the men who were guarding the tomb. The angels appeared and it says they became like dead men. That means they're like this. And they saw them and, right? So they were like dead men because they were bad men, so they couldn't handle it. When the women saw the angel at the tomb, they were still in shock and in awe, but it wasn't completely contradictory to their thoughts and their faith and their beliefs, right? So that's one way they can appear. Angels can also appear in a body. What do you mean a body? A full body, just like me. They can appear just like you. And for this example, I'll give you the book of Tobit. What do I mean? In the book of Tobit, Tobit told his son, Tobias, go and find somebody to go with you to my cousin, Gobulus, whatever I call him, Gobulus, because that's my kind of like my name. And he's over here in this other city. Make sure that you get a kinsman who knows what he's doing. So the angel Raphael appears like a young man sitting on a stoop. And then so he says, hey, young man, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for work. What do you need? I need somebody to go with me to visit my cousin Gabulus. Gabulus? I know Gabulus. I just got back. I visited him before. I know exactly where that is. Oh, really? Man, what are the odds? Great. Come on. And then he introduces him to Tobit. And Tobit says, hey, what family are you from? He's like, why do you keep bugging me? Why do you know a family? What difference is your family? He's like, oh, don't worry. I'm from your kinsman. I'm your cousin Azarias. And then says, oh, my cousin Azarias. So Raphael, disguised as Tobit's cousin Azarias, goes and visits Gabulus. Gabulus has no clue that he's not talking to Azarias. He thinks he's talking. He looks like Azarias, walks like Azarias, talks like Azarias. So we have a clear point from Scripture that angels can assume bodies. They can assume bodies that look exactly like you. For all you know, Gabriel is locked in a closet somewhere, and the angel is appearing as Gabriel, giving this talk so the bonehead wouldn't forget anything, and I'm only pretending to forget things so that you'll really believe that I'm that idiot in the closet. That's how good they are. So how do I know the difference? They don't have bodily functions. What do you mean no bodily functions? So if somebody would get the stethoscope, you put it to them, there'd be no heartbeat. But what happens if I put the stethoscope and there's beep, 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 beep? Well, again, that's their power. They don't even have the ability to speak because they don't have vocal cords in here. They don't have the ability to eat. They don't do any of our bodily things. But they can make it look like they're eating. Like when they asked, well, I thought I saw you eating, man. How can you be an angel? And then he told Tobiah, oh, don't worry. What I was eating was invisible food. I just made it look like food and then I ate it and you thought that I was eating food. The same way they make microwaves in the air to communicate. So that's one way. Another way that they can appear is in the form of a person. So it's just messing with my eyeballs. I don't really see them there. They're messing with my senses. So he can really make the sounds. He can really be a person there. Or he can just tweak your eyeballs so only you see and only you hear and you hear exactly. And I had this experience one time. It was very recent, actually, where I had friends in another state who were at Mass on the Feast of the Assumption. And then all of a sudden, they're like looking at their eyes. Is that Gabe? What the heck is he doing here? Why didn't he tell us he's coming to town? And then they look closer. That's not Gabe. That can't be Gabe. He would have told us he's coming. And then they look, and then they see this turning around a little bit. Oh my God, that's Gabe! And then after Mass, they see him during communion. Oh look, that's him! I'm so glad he's here. Oh, okay. Oh, I can't believe that little he's surprising us. And then they go up to the man, and they say, Gabe. And they look at him and say, oh, who are you? You are some young Mexican. You don't look anything like Gabe. So a person was really there and they're just tweaking their eyeballs. Why? I have no idea why. Maybe so I could have a story to tell you as an example. But that really did happen. I don't know why. So they can do this so back to my point, they can do this, appear in bodily form all the time to keep you from committing sin. They can be knock-knock on the door. They can also guard you. What do I mean, guard you? Maybe you're walking down the street and some thugs are like, the next person who's alone, I'm going to beat their head in and take their wallet. Yeah, that's what we'll do. And then what happens? All of a sudden, other people happen to come out of this house. They're walking by and they don't jump you for whatever reason. And all this time, there was nobody really there. This happened to me one time when I was in Brazil. I was lost. I was alone. I was supposed to be with the USCCB, the US Bishops Conference, at some talk they were giving. The subway was closed. Me and my friend Carlos were like, well, now what do we do? This subway entrance is closed. We're completely lost. And then here comes some weird man in short little shorts with hair silver like of just silver like ice. It was just so silvery. And he was wearing a really tight little white shirt. And he said, I don't even know how we communicated, to be honest, because he spoke Portuguese. I think my friend maybe spoke a little Portuguese. And he said, what's wrong, guys? And I said, we need to go over here, USCCB, da da da. He's like, oh, I'm going that way. And I said, and me and my friend kind of looked at each other, we're like, then we looked at him, because we were like, this guy's going to jack us. But then we like looked at each other like, oh, I don't know about this. This sounds like a bad idea. And we looked at him, and he's like, he's wearing short shorts and a little white t-shirt. And then so we were like, okay, we'll go with you, right? And then so we keep talking to him, and he's all like, oh, yeah, I work at a restaurant where they do music and dancing. And it's just on the other side of this building you're going to. And so this whole time we're talking, and his name's Julio. Julo. His name's Julo. And I was like, this guy's name's Julo? What the heck? Julo, who's going to work as a waiter, wearing little shorts and a t-shirt and silver hair. I was like, he was big though. I wouldn't have gone with him had he been like dressed nice. I'd have been like, no thanks, we'll be okay, we'll just go home. So we went with this Julo. And then so we go, he drops us right, and it's really dark in this little area. He drops us right at the entrance of the venue called Vivo Rio. And Carlos was like, man, that was so cool. And then the guy walked off, just like he said, past the Vivo Rio. He walks off, disappears into the dark. After the event at the Vivo Rio, they said, make sure you do not leave the premises with fewer than 5 or 6 people, because we've already had 8 people jumped and beaten up and taken all of their materials. And we looked at each other and we were like, Julio! And then we looked at a map. And we looked at the map of the Vivo Rio, because it was dark, I couldn't see this. But just behind the Vivo Rio was water. Vivo Rio, living river. How in the world did this man go to his restaurant that was in the water? How is this possible? Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was him, because he took a ticket and he didn't have any coins to get on the side. And that was another thing. He's like, I don't have any coins. And I was like, all right, Julio, you're going to work all right. If you weren't so goofy looking, I'd be in the, running the other direction. So they can light and guard, rule and guide. How many times in your own life have you almost had a car accident? But the thing is you have to be looking to do God's will. So for example, this is why I'm so strange and people find me so peculiar. If I'm talking to you and I have a conversation, I'm very weird. I'm talking to you, I have a conversation. A ladybug lands on my ear. I stop. You can tell my eyes and my mind are somewhere else. I'm asking myself, what is God's will right now? And he's like, I should probably be doing something. And then so all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to go. I'm like, what's wrong? I was like, a ladybug landed on me. Right? Anytime something weird happens, I stop. Because, again, my permanent mindset is God's will. Anytime something strange, out of the ordinary happens, I stop. I say, what do you want me to be doing right now? And if I'm not doing it, or if you want me to reconsider, I'll do it. So and they love to mess with your electronics. They love it. I don't know why, but they're always messing with my phone. Anytime I go to the grocery store, the register doesn't work. And then they're like, I'm so sorry, the register's not working. I was like, don't worry. This happens all the time. And then I'll stop and say, okay, what did I forget? And then I go back and I get it. So the same thing with you. You're in the car. You're turning on the radio. It goes staticky. You're on your phone about to play a game. The phone goes blank. Normally, you'd be like, stupid phone. This is Apple. This is why we got to get an Android. You keep, touch button won't work, right? So instead, you should stop and say, okay, God, what do you want me to be doing right now? So again, your angel's not going to do what you can do for yourself. They're going to try to do everything possible to make up for the little weaknesses and insecurities and the frailties of your human nature. So you can't be like, I'm going to go on the internet and look at bad things until my angel turns off the internet. No. You go on the, it's kind of like, I forgot. What am I doing? I should be doing my homework right now. I shouldn't be on Facebook. And then for some reason, it doesn't reload. You ask yourself, okay, what should I be doing right now? I should be doing God's will. And they will help you in every way and in every way possible. So for example, I was thinking to myself, should I have Joseph come to this talk? I really love that kid. And I just really like him. And then I was thinking that, I was like, well, might not be appropriate. And I was like, he's already heard all these stories anyways. And then right when that happened, Rebecca sent me a text message. Because she knew that I was all like frantic trying to get everything set up. And she's like, just be patient, pretend like you're talking to your son Joseph. Right as I was thinking, so there's no coincidences. The angels know what I'm thinking, goes to Rebecca, says, I want Joseph at the talk. It'll be good for him to see his dad talk. It'll be good for all, it's just good for his soul. Tells Rebecca, puts it in her mind, comes to me. This happens all the time. Think about all the times maybe you've lost your job. It's always when you're at your wit's end that God will inspire somebody else. You don't know why. It could be that you could be going to a job interview and you've been on so many job interviews. If you don't get this job, you're going to lose the job. You're going to lose your house, I mean. And you go there and you say the same thing you've said at all the other interviews, but for some reason he likes you. Maybe the angel was tweaking with their eyes, make you look like Harrison Ford. Oh, I would love to have a Harrison Ford. Maybe if he works here, I can ask him for a selfie and people could think I'm with Harrison Ford. And that could be the dumbest reason why he hires you, but you have to understand that God provides for all of your needs. And he will do it when at the right time, and your angels, again, are the second causes. It's impossible, according to Thomas Aquinas, to distinguish between the Holy Spirit inspiring you and the angel of God inspiring you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has the inspiration, and he uses the angel to put it into your head. You just can't tell the difference. It's impossible to tell the difference. So, again, you have a guardian angel that is always, 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 always with you. You have nothing to be afraid of. Everything is going to be okay. You're here, and when things don't go your way, trust that it's going to be okay. All right, we'll go to the next one since it's getting late. Oh my gosh, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, save my soul. All right, just briefly a couple of stories from the lives of the saints, and then we'll close. Oh my, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, help Marianne. All right, I already know the stories anyways. So St. John Bosco was a great apostle of the youth.